Welcome to this presentation of the Richmond Times-Dispatch Sports Section for Thursday, August 10th. I'm Virginia Voice volunteer Joe Hubble. In the on-deck circle, Hokies seeking revival at tight end. But first, meet the fierce face leading William and Mary in 23 by John O'Connor of the Times-Dispatch. Pius seeks to build on breakthrough 11.5 sack season. Dateline, Williamsburg. William and Mary ranks number 4 in the Stats Perform FCS Top 25 preseason poll, and the fierce face of this tribe team was a relatively skinny freshman who WNDM staff members were not sure how to deploy a few years ago. When he signed with the tribe, John Pius was a raw 6'2", 195-pounder, who grew up playing more basketball than football. As a defensive end at Yorktown High in Arlington, he lined up in a three-point stance. Pius was so athletic that Yorktown tried him at other positions, too. William and Mary coach Mike London saw a player with a first-step get-off that's really unique. It allows him to attack, he said. Leave Pius at defensive end in that three-point stance. Shift him to outside linebacker? Coverage skills were not going to be a major problem. Pius also played some defensive back in high school. William and Mary placed Pius as a stand-up outside linebacker, but after 23 sacks in 2 years on Yorktown's varsity, his specialty clearly remained rushing the passer. He's a hybrid. Pius, now a 235-pound redshirt junior, had 11.5 sacks among 19 tackles for loss in 2022 when he was named the CAA Defensive Player of the Year and first-team Associated Press FCS All-American. He finished second in voting for the Buck Buchanan Award, which goes annually to the FCS Premier Defender. I definitely want to have the same season as I did before, if not better, Pius said Monday after a William and Mary practice. That's what I'm reaching for. Always want to keep getting better and keep overachieving. London coached the defensive lineman of the Houston Texans in 2005 and recalls words spoken that year by Tony Dungy, the former coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Indianapolis Colts. The topic tackled by Dungy, a former NFL defensive backs coach and defensive coordinator, was the value of one coverage scheme compared to another. Dungy, according to London, responded, "You get those pass rushers right there. That's what's most important." London did not forget that advice, and said he heads into the season believing, our ability to rush the passer I think is going to be critically important, and then how we put them in those spots to do that to minimize some of the things that can happen to you. The key? Pius, whose continued presence at William and Mary may be viewed by some as surprising given the name, image, and likeness market for high-quality pass rushers in NCAA football. Pius said he values William and Mary's winning football atmosphere. The tribe last year went 11-2, sharing the CAA football title and advancing to the FCS quarterfinals, and he also values a degree from that school. The combination explains his return, said London. When you can develop a culture and a relationship, when you have a school that talks about academic excellence, you have the master's programs in our grad schools that do an excellent job of not just branding a William and Mary student athlete when they're doing their undergrad, but also after they're done. So you can make $5,000, $8,000, $10,000 somewhere else through an NIL, or you can get a master's degree here and earn six figures. London, on the flip side, by not frequently hitting the transfer market, has given his young players reason to believe they can develop and progressively step from the shadows to the spotlight at WNM. We very seldom have gone in the transfer portal. I, right or wrong or indifferent, have decided to recruit high school kids and grow them up in the program, said London. Pius, now grown, and William and Mary's other defensive linemen have taken the perspective that they earn the right to rush the passer. So they must stop the run, which they did well last year, to set up a disruption of down and distance situations by sacking quarterbacks. That's definitely still the same philosophy that we want to keep, said Pius. You have to stop the run to let our pass rushers do our thing. Almost all of the major Tribe players return, including quarterback Darius Wilson and tailback Bronson Yoder, who finished the year with 1,255 rushing yards, the eighth best season in program history. We feel like we want to repeat as CAA champions and make it back into the playoffs, and I think the biggest thing that we want to win is the Natty, said Pius. The Natty would be the national championship. I think everybody is locked in for that, said Pius. That's the main goal for us and what we want to accomplish. William and Mary opens at Campbell, a first-year CAA football member, on the evening of Thursday, August 31st. This has been Meet the Fierce Face Leading William and Mary in 23 by John O'Connor. Our next article, Hokies Seeking Revival at Tight End by Damian Sordlett of the Roanoke Times. Dateline Blacksburg. Nick Gallo and his friends frequently made the near 7-hour trek from Richboro, Pennsylvania to Lane Stadium to watch his older brother Eric play on Virginia Tech's offensive line. Those trips gave the younger Gallo a first-hand glimpse at how the Hokies utilized talent at tight end. He saw Bucky Hodges split out wide to take advantage of his athletic 6'7" frame against smaller cornerbacks. Ryan Malik wasn't afraid to mix it up at the line of scrimmage and be a reliable option in the middle of the field. Chris Cunningham was sure-handed when the Hokies were in the red zone. Gallo, entering his fifth and final season at Virginia Tech, sees that type of talent and depth once again in Daquan Wright, Benji Gosnell, and Harrison St. Germain. The tight end group is in a position that put up respectable numbers last season, but failed to reach the end zone in the Hokies' 11-game season. These guys, they're just going to keep working and working and going to keep getting better and better, Gallo said. Gallo is the veteran of the 9-man group. The other 8 players in the tight end room, including fullback Kiari Miller, are either sophomores or freshmen, and sophomore Daquan Wright is the only other tight end on the roster who has caught a pass at Virginia Tech. The tight end room is doing very well, position coach Stu Holt said. Our focus has been on playing with better technique, fundamentals, really playing in a physical way. Gallo was charged with leading the way for the youngsters during the spring and into preseason training camp. He has made 26 starts over the last 3 seasons and posted 55 catches, 469 yards, and 1 touchdown over that stretch. Nick is leading that and has had a very good camp so far, Holt said. Daquan is doing very well and really working hard to improve in those areas. He's a special talent. Benji Gosnell is back and playing well. Harrison St. Germain, we've got several guys who are really doing a nice job in camp. And a lot of it, they see Nick. You know, Nick's a guy that's played a lot of ball here. He's a very talented player, goes about his business the right way. We talk a lot about practice like a pro, carries it like a pro. You know, Nick's got that figured out, so it's a huge blessing to have him back, he said. The 6'4" Gallo not only watched the likes of Hodges, Malik, and Cunningham from the stands, but he also learned from teammates such as Dalton Keene and James Mitchell. Keene and Mitchell are in the NFL, with Keane suiting up for the Houston Texans and Mitchell playing for the Detroit Lions. I would always say that I prided myself in being an effective blocker as well as a receiver, Gallo said. I think being a younger guy, there were some guys in front of me, Dalton, James, those guys were extremely talented, so getting them the ball was important. I think kind of last year going into the new system with Coach Tyler Bowen, he loves getting us the ball, so I think that was huge. Going forward, my goal is really I want to keep improving in pass game, run game, but my biggest area I want to get better at is being a leader, stepping up, making sure the other guys on the offense are playing up to the standard that we can play to. Gallo, Wright, Connor Blumrick, and Drake Dulius were integral parts of last season's passing attack. The tight end group combined for 566 yards on 60 receptions, but none of the players found the end zone. The Hokies' offense struggled as a whole last season, as quarterback Grant Wells finished with 9 touchdown passes. The wide receiving corps added 3 transfers to immediately bolster that group, while the tight end room got a year older with Wright, Gosnell, and St. Germain. Wright has the potential to be the Hodges of the group with his athletic 6'4" frame. He was 4th on the team with 208 receiving yards despite playing in 7 games. Daquan was great for us. You saw it last year. Really effective in the pass game, Gallo said. I think this offseason he's done a great job of committing to learning and developing in the run game. He'll be a great player for us. Gosnell, a former 4-star recruit out of Carroll County High School, missed all of last season after suffering a torn ACL in preseason training camp. He got back onto the field in the spring and has been working with Gallo and Wright this month. St. Germain was signed in the same class as Wright and Gosnell. Tight ends. Returning starters? Nick Gallo. Other returners? Daquan Wright, Benji Gosnell, Harrison St. Germain. Newcomers to know? Zeke Wimbush. Position coach? Stu Holt. Second year at Virginia Tech. Key stat? The tight end core combined for 566 yards and no touchdowns on 60 catches in 2022. This has been Hokies Seeking Revival at Tight End by Damian Sordlett of the Roanoke Times. Now let's check in on the Richmond Flying Squirrels with this article by Savannah Rieger of the Times-Dispatch titled, Going from Check Swings to Checkmate. No one on the Richmond Flying Squirrels' current roster had a concrete answer on how the chessboard appeared in the clubhouse at the Diamond. Catcher Andy Thomas doesn't remember how it got there. Pitcher Parker Dunshee said he thinks Thomas or Brandon Martirano brought it in. Martirano himself said he thinks some of the coaches set it up. But there it's been, in all of its green and white glory. And every day, up until 30 minutes before first pitch, the flying squirrels sit down, kick in the brain power, and mentally prepare with chess. It's like a rollout of squares, Dunshee said. It's not like big, clunky wooden or anything. Even after the game, sometimes guys will stick around and play the game, he said. Recently, there was a match between Martirano and associate analyst Nate Buchwald, who Dunshee described as the best 2 chess players on the team. Some of the flying squirrels were huddled around the board, keeping quiet through proper chess etiquette. For most of the team, they're learning how to play, and it's for fun. For Martirano and Buchwald, it's about moves and counter moves. Buchwald's a little bit better than me, Martirano said. That's my biggest challenge in there. He's pretty good. Martirano's been playing chess his whole life. At the University of North Carolina, he had a pitching coach that competed in chess tournaments and there were several boards in the Tar Heels' locker room. He said they played again and again and again. "For me, it's kind of like a hobby," Martirano said. "I watch a lot of YouTube videos, just spend most of my time playing." He's always been a fan, so when he's not playing Buchwald, he's helping teach other guys on the Richmond roster how to play. To teach, he doesn't want to be pointing and talking loud, he said, but he's there to advise. "I mean, I'm no expert," Martirano said. "I have a bit more experience." Dungey and Thomas both said they weren't very good at the game, but it's an important part of the routine. For baseball games with 6:35 p.m. start times, Dungey said the board gets busy starting at 12:30 p.m. People play at different times throughout that stretch, in the early afternoon, before batting practice, after batting practice, etc. And by the cutoff point, about 30 people have sat down to play a game. The board is portable, but the Flying Squirrels don't take the main one on the road, instead using a second mini board. Regardless of their location, the team remains in its chess-playing routine. On the bus, the Squirrels play on their phones. "We all have chess.com," Dungey said. "I used to play a lot on the bus with Raymond Burgos, but he just got called up to Sacramento, and then now started playing on the bus with Will Jensen." The players said they like chess because of the pre-game mental stimulation. Dungey calls it Richmond's little release. "It's a fun thing to get your mind off the game or just, you know, kind of relax for a little bit," Dungey said. "Something that as professional athletes we all just kind of have ingrained in our brains like we're doing. We're trying to win, and it's a fun non-baseball thing that definitely keeps us loose in there," Martirano agrees. It keeps him in check before the baseball game starts, so whether it's teaching, playing for fun, or playing to win, he and the rest of the roster stay on their chess routine. Then the Flying Squirrels can force their opponent's hand on the field. Checkmate. "It keeps your mind sharp," Martirano said. "I mean, it's not going to help you hit a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, but it helps you. It's definitely a better alternative to playing video games or staring at Instagram all day long. So, I think it allows everyone to disconnect and share, you know, in a community game." This has been Going from Check Swings to Checkmate by Savannah Rieger. Our next article, Cavs Not Feeling Short-Changed at Corner, by Mike Barber of the Times-Dispatch. Position transfers under 6 feet tall are hungry to attack. Dateline, Charlottesville. As he works his way into the lineup at Virginia, Clemson transfer cornerback and former Highland Springs High School star Malcolm Green has one very specific area of his game he's aiming to become known for. "I want to be the best player in the country when it comes to attacking the ball," Green said. "When the ball is in the air, not just I know it's mine, everybody knows it's mine," he said. Green played in 29 games over 3 seasons for the Tigers, starting 5 times, breaking up 6 passes, and snaring a pair of interceptions. He battled injuries and dealt with stiff competition for playing time. Now he's hoping to have a breakout season in his home state. And a big part of that will be winning 50-50 balls, passes that, in the air, could be caught by a receiver or a defender like Green. Last season, Virginia managed just 5 interceptions, second fewest in the ACC, ahead of only rival Virginia Tech's 4. Cavaliers defenders did break up 38 passes in their 10 games, led by Fentrell Cypress the second, his 14, and Johnson's 12. Johnson was a first-team all-conference selection, and Cypress the second earned second-team honors, but both are gone this fall. Johnson is in the NFL, and Cypress transferred to Florida State. While veteran safeties including Antonio Clary, Jonas Sanker, and Cone King are back, UVA turned to the portal to rebuild at the corner position with Green, SMU transfer Sam Westfall, and Iowa State transfer Tavon Kyle. Something that trio has in common? Each is under 6 feet tall. As a group, the Cavaliers' cornerbacks are among the shortest in the ACC this season. The two corners named to the preseason All-ACC team were Cypress and North Carolina State's Aiden White. Both stand 6 foot tall. Green and Westfall are 5'10", and Kyle, who is working primarily at safety so far this fall, is 5'11". I've been around taller corners, shorter receivers, Westfall said. I've played against a lot of different types. It doesn't make a difference to me. Every defensive back plays differently. Virginia could get decidedly taller at the position if returning players are able to win starting positions over the transfers. King has been working at corner since this spring, and he is 6 feet tall. Junior Will Simpkins III had been emerging in the spring, and he's 6'2". But Westfall says he's confident the UVA coaches are comfortable playing smaller corners like himself and Green. After all, he noted, they recruited the pair to come to the Cavaliers. I feel like they played differently last year than what they actually wanted out of the corner room, Westfall said. They inherited all those guys, so I feel like bringing us in, they'll have more of the type of defense they want. We'll fit into whatever they want us to do, defensive backs coach Kerome Fox said. He's not fixated on finding quarterbacks with a certain body type, though there are physical attributes and characteristics he does seek out for the position. You work with what you get, Cox said. Conceptually, you look for athletic guys. Played multiple sports. It just helps with the movement and the mindset at that position specifically. You try to identify what their strengths and weaknesses are. If you're long, you might need to be more fluid. If you're shorter, you need to be more physical. Just get them to understand who they are so they can use it to their advantage. Cox and defensive coordinator John Rudzinski said this season's defensive scheme will not change just because the team figures to be using shorter cornerbacks, but because it's a different lineup with different personnel in numerous spots. One of the parts as we put a defense together is evaluating our talent, Rudzinski said. I think we're looking always to evolve to make sure we put guys in position to be successful. If it merits changing what we do schematically to match that, then we need to do it. For Green, who's working to put himself in a position to get his hands on the football more often, that's involved a focus on getting in and out of his breaks and improving his footwork so he can, quote, eat up space as good as possible. And Green is confident he can eat plenty despite his smaller structure. Defensive backs, returning starters, safeties, Antonio Clary, Jonas Sanker, Cone King, corners, none. Other returners, Aiden Ryan, Will Simpkins III, Elijah Gaines, David Herard, Micah Gaffney. Newcomers to know, Malcolm Green, Sam Westfall, Tavon Kyle. Key losses, Fentrell Cypress II, Anthony Johnson. Position coach, Kerome Fox, second year at UVA. Key stat, Virginia's 5 interceptions last season were the second fewest in the ACC. This has been Cavs Not Feeling Shortchanged at Corner by Mike Barber. Next up, Opener versus Duke Should Motivate UR by John O'Connor. Spiders hoping to rebound after lopsided defeat. Erin Roussel was talking about the University of Richmond's women's basketball schedule the other day and said, "We'll start the season at Duke, which is exciting," Roussel, heading into his fifth year as Spiders coach, could not have conjured up a more motivational opener. On December 4th last season, the Blue Devils swept into Robins Center and left with a 100-49 win. The Spiders trailed 29-7. Duke then got rolling in transition and took a 48-18 halftime lead behind a 33-point second quarter in which the Blue Devils made 13 of 16 shots, 5 of 6 from three-point distance. Duke totaled 73 points in the second and third quarters. Roussel said he knew the Spiders were better than they showed. He called the result an eye-opener. "Our kids didn't hang their heads. They really put their nose to the grindstone and forced themselves to get better that week." In its subsequent game, Richmond beat Longwood 119-55. Last year's Spiders, who went 21-11, 8-6 in the Atlantic 10, won more than 20 games for the first time since the 2011-2012 season and advanced to a postseason tournament for the first time since 2015. They won a game in the WNIT and then lost in the second round at Rhode Island. Most of Richmond's players return, including 6'2" senior Addie Budnick, 14 points per game, 5.5 rebounds per game, who has scored 1,106 career points. "We now are at the point where the postseason is an expectation for us every year," said Roussel. Richmond has not made the NCAAs since 2005. Under Roussel, who came from Bucknell, the Spiders took a notable competitive jump last season after three building years. Duke was an NCAA qualifier last season and finished 26-7. Also on tap for UR this coming season is a date at Villanova, a game that will bring together sisters. Richmond 6'4 freshman Courtney Swider is the sister of Villanova 6'4 junior Kylie Swider. They are from Portsmouth, Rhode Island, as is their older brother 6'9 Cole Swider, who played three seasons at Villanova before finishing his NCAA eligibility at Syracuse in 2021 and 2022. Richmond is also scheduled to meet Michigan State in a tournament that will be played in North Carolina. This has been Opener vs. Duke Should Motivate UR by John O'Connor. And let's finish off with a quick golf update from the Sports in Brief section. McIlroy, Rahm secure Ryder Cup spots. Roy McIlroy and John Rahm had their spots on the European team for the Ryder Cup confirmed on Wednesday. McIlroy will be playing in his seventh straight Ryder Cup, and it's Rahm's third in a row. Both secured their spots through the European points list. This year's Ryder Cup matches will take place September 29th to October 1st. At the Marco Simone Golf and Country Club outside Rome, where Captain Luke Donald's team will try to avenge a record loss to the United States at Whistling Straits last year. And that concludes this presentation of today's Richmond Times-Dispatch Sports section. I'm Joe Hubble for the Virginia Voice. This program is also available on demand at www.virginiavoice.org.